your name.
Yeah.
thank God, amen, for being in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. We did not have to make it in, but God's grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. Amen. Grace and mercy draw us through. Hallelujah. We thank God for that. Amen. Let's continue to pray for St. Williams. We got four checks in this week. Amen. Ella Tansy got two in already for his class reunion. So we promoted class reunion. Go get some classmates. Now, more important than the checks, amen, he talked about all the people that have contacted him for prayer. Amen. You know, and we don't want to lose sight of our main thing. The main thing is saving the souls. Amen. And encouraging people. But we just thank God for the checks that came in. Amen. We got a $600 check, a $1,000 check, a $100 check, and a $25 check. Amen. So we thank God for it. We praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? The Bible says God concerning Israel, when they were getting ready to go out to battle, sometimes there were times he said, praise the Lord in advance. And we always like to wait till we get in the middle of it. But how about just giving God a thank you, Jesus? Come on, can we give him a thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah, in advance. Oh, thank you. Yes, Lord. Amen. I want to ask you to stand. Amen. We know this Friday is the end of the week, and most of us have been beat up and tore up with whatever our employment is, and waking up early, and ladies that cook. Hello? Ladies cooking, men eating. Amen. So we know this has been a long week, so we don't want to intrude on your patience too much, but nevertheless, we always want to hear a word from God. Amen. Let's turn to Hebrew. Let's start with 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll start off with verses, we'll read verses 13 and 17 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Amen. Tonight, what we're going to deal with, the subject is inward holiness. Inward holiness. Amen. You know, a lot of us rest apart and we wear the part on the outside, but the challenge tonight is our inward holiness. Verse 13 reads, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And can the church say the word of the Lord?
Word of the Lord.
Blessed already. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. The one thing that God requires every last one of us and every person that lives is for us to be holy as he is holy. The first commandment that God gave Israel when he delivered them out of Egypt was, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Verse 13 once again says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Amen. And this word for gird up is actually an oriental word used over in the East. Amen. It means to tie, it means to take your robe, take a belt and tie it up so that nothing hinders you from your progress. So when it says gird up the loins of your mind, it's symbolic of us needing to make some preparations. Amen. For the race that is set before us. So it says gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, how do we get to this hope? How do we gird up the loins of our minds? It says, be what? Obedient children. And in being obedient, he gives the opposite of obedience is not fashioning yourselves according to the what? Former lust in your ignorance. Amen. So holiness will be the opposite of your former lusts. And the explanation for holiness would be purity and sanctification of life and heart. Amen. A lot of us have the outward show, but the question tonight is, what's on the inside? We have the outward show. We dress it, we walk it, we talk it. But what's on the inside? Amen. That's what counts the most. He said, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in some manner of living. That conversation means conduct or living. Amen. So it says, be holy in
all.
If it's in all, then what are the exceptions? Amen. God expects us to be holy in all manner of conduct. Amen. How do you live? You ought to be holy. On the job, you still have to be
holy.
When we get home and let down our hair, those of us got it. Amen. And you get comfortable, you still got to be
holy.
Amen. If you're in the neighborhood, you still got to be
holy.
When you're running around the supermarket and somebody gets in line in front of you, you still have to be
holy.
Holiness is a lifestyle. And it's not something that we turn on and off. But holiness is an inward character that reflects God. If you were to look in our hearts and we are holy, the image that our heart should reflect is God. That's something to think about. If at this moment we could get one of those echocardiograms. Amen. Yeah, come on, y'all. I know I ain't messed up already. I mess up a lot. I get nosy and get in the wrong area, but I didn't get there yet. Amen. But if we were to take an echocardiogram of the heart, wouldn't the echocardiogram is a picture that reflects the heart. Now I'm not talking about this natural heart now. I'm talking about a spiritual echocardiogram. Well, we can look at the heart. If we could get a picture of your heart and my heart, what image would it reflect? What image would it reflect? Amen? What God says, the image that it should reflect should be God. When people look at a saved individual, you don't have to say a word. But because the image that's been reflected is God, they should be able to say there's something different.
Right.
I can't put my finger on it, but there is something different. Well, what gives us that distinction is the Holy Ghost. So tonight we're dealing with not just the outward appearance, but the inward appearance. Inward holiness. Amen. A lot of people can dress the part. Now, I'm not talking about in our church, but there are some people that are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and meaner than 10 rattlesnakes in a cage side. Not one, not two, but 10. That don't sound like God to me. I want to see that spiritual echocardiogram. Because I can't see God being reflected in that. We're talking about a change. And it's not by what man sees, it's by what God sees. Amen. Let's go to 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read just three verses of scriptures. What qualifies us? How many here got the Holy Ghost? Give a three way more. Amen. If anybody don't have the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. Because you can't be holy. Holy Ghost. You got to have it. Because in I think Revelation chapter 22, it says, he that is holy, let him be. And he that is righteous, let him be
righteous.
So that sounds like to me there's a whole lot of other people going to be in heaven besides those that are holy. Because he said, if you're righteous, meaning you're doing all that you know to do, but there's a distinct class that represents a difference. That is the holy. Verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1 reads, and according as his
divine power.
That's what helps us to be holy. That's what brings in holiness. According as his divine power has given unto us a few things. Some things. Given unto us what? All things that pertain unto. Stop right there. Everything about life, we get it through the Holy Ghost. Given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Well, how do I know to live? His divine power has given unto you and I all things. So a lot of times we like to make up excuses. There's no excuse because we have the Holy Ghost. And Romans, I believe it's chapter 5, says, hope maketh not ashamed. Well, why aren't you ashamed when you hope? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So when you get the divine nature and the divine power is in your heart, so your spiritual echocardiogram should not reflect anything but God. Hallelujah. Lord, it's time for me to look at myself. Let me make my own personal examination and find out what do I see. Verse 4 reads, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and thank God we saved. And get rid of some of those woes and, you know, feeling things all bad. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these ye may be partakers of what? What is the divine nature? Holiness. That's what God's divine nature is. Holiness. It is holy. Amen. We want to be partakers of his divine nature. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. The divine nature revealed what's in us. Amen. What, you ever have some of those times where you're just fighting all the time? You're just wrestling all the time? You know why? Because we have two natures. God's divine nature is in us, but the sinful nature is in the flesh. So there's a battle constantly. The divine nature is trying to shape us to be more like God. The sinful nature tries to shape us to be more like the devil. So there's a constant battle. Amen. Somebody said, like Paul said, I find in my members another bad war. And it's warring against the members of my mind, trying to bring me into captivity. Captivity. Somebody said, see it right. So I use my same excuse. I'm from where? I said that. Somebody said, I don't talk like that. I'm from down south. So I guess that ain't a good excuse. Bringing us into captivity to this law of sin and death. There's as long as you are alive, there's a battle. I don't care how holy you get. The sinful nature is in the body. The Holy Ghost gives us the power to overcome it and to suppress it. Suppress it means it cannot have expression. But it's there. Then you don't pray. You don't read your Bible. You don't come to church. Guess what? The suppression is off. I said, wow, I didn't even know a saint could act like that. Matter of fact, we were talking to a gentleman, and I'm not going to tell y'all who it is, because y'all guess who it is. But I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm speaking in riddles, all right? And the guy said, I didn't know a preacher. No, I ain't going to say that either, because some of y'all still figure it out. But, okay, so I'm going to go somewhere else then. But what I'm saying is, when somebody, when people see us in a saved, they should see God. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how they mistreat you. I don't care what they've done. They should see God. Amen. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man. Now we're trying to get what kind of holiness? Inward holiness. So in me trying to get inward holiness, I can't look through my eyes because I'm always clean. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but his, you know what the Lord does? He examines the motives of your heart. Inward holiness is when God pierces through the outer, when he pierces through the flesh, when God pierces down into the very source of your being, which is your soul and heart. And then God looks at that and he says, I'm trying to see what makes you think you're right. And you know your motives are wrong. That's not inward holiness. That's not a reflection of God. That's all you. Amen? So you can't say, well, this is what I think. That's all right what you think. But the scripture said, when a man what? Thinketh a thing. I'm going to preach about myself tonight. That's what y'all got to make me leave myself. I'm going to say it and preach it. When a man thinketh a thing, he knoweth it. Because why? All of your ways, all of my ways are what? Clean in my own. Go to 21:2. All my ways are clean in my own eyes. But what separates, what makes it different is the Lord that
weighs the spirit.
He sees what is the motive behind what you just did. What is the motive behind what you said? Is it in holiness? Or are you just being in self? 21:2 says, every way. The other one said all the ways. Now every way of a man is what? But now the Lord says, I can't go by what you're saying, and I'm going to ponder. It's the same thing as way. It means that God is examining your heart to find out why you're doing what you did. And then with holiness, I have to take into account, what does God think? Remember David, after he had sinned with Bathsheba, he told God, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and committed this great transgression. Amen. Then he says, Lord, wash me and I shall be clean. Purge me and wash me. I shall be clean and I shall be whiter than snow. But David realized as he communed with God that there was something missing. He said, God, I messed up. I've fallen. But God makes a way for every child of God to come back. When David realized how low he got, he said, Lord, create within me a clean heart. But he didn't stop at the heart. He said, and renew a right spirit. You know what David was saying? Lord, I want to be holy just like you. So I can't do it by myself. Because my ways are all clean and they're all right. So Lord, I need you to help me to have some inward holiness. And then when I look down on the inside, hallelujah, the reflection I see is God. We don't need to go any further right there. What's been reflected? I, me, what I want. Does God count at all? Amen. Go to 24:12. Proverbs 24:12. God examines our heart. Remember when Samuel went to pick out a king in the house of Jesse? Samuel, who was a godly man. Was Samuel a godly man? Yes. God spoke to Samuel, called him by name, and showed Samuel what he was going to do. And Samuel Satan still was looking through his natural eyes. So God had to put a hold on Samuel. He said, Samuel, stop. I'm going to pick out a king, but not according to your eyes and your thinking. He said, because man looks at thee. God said, man looks at the outward appearance, but our God looks at the heart. God radar pierces further than any other radar. Because echocardiograph can reveal the heart, they can show the pumping, the moving, and any abnormalities. But they cannot get down to where they can discern the contents and the intents of the heart. Only God in His Word can do that. 24:12 said, "If now go back to 11 first. We're dealing with what tonight? Come on, if y'all can't say that, then I'm gonna stop right here. Amen. Inward what? In other words, we're trying to be like God. Where? On the inside, amen. It says, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death. Now, this is dealing with a scenario where someone is being taken to death, but you have the power to help them. It could be in the natural, but even greater is in the... You know somebody's messed up, and you can help them. Now, this is the eisegesis. All right, this ain't the exegesis. Jesus. I don't get into that again, but this is a preacher's way of doing it, okay? Drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. Now, I say, you what? No, and you can help them, amen? We're dealing with what? Inward holiness. If thou sayest, behold, now remember, God doesn't see as man sees, because man is looking at the what? So he said, oh, you didn't know, you didn't know, okay. God said, no. I'm looking beyond that. Doth not he that pondereth the heart
consider it?
You said you didn't know. Said God. So wait a minute. I'm looking at your heart. You said you didn't do this. God said, but I'm looking at your heart. And in me pondering or examining, this pondering, I'm examining your heart. You say you didn't know. God said, but I know that you knew. And he that keepeth our soul, doth not he know it? Amen. We can find justification for many of the things that we do, say, and act, and the way we act. But God said, I know it. Amen. And he shall not he render to every man
according to his works.
What are we talking about tonight? Inward holiness. Inward holiness is sin beyond the outward and sin into the physical. Go to Matthew 23, verse 27. So we're dealing with what? What's taking place in the heart. Amen. The Bible said, in the heart, man believeth unto salvation. The only way that you can be saved is you got to have a right heart. Now, a lot of times we say, well, I didn't know this. God's great. The scripture just said, God considers it, and God what?
Knows.
Because he's looking beyond the outward into the inner. 27 says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful. You look good on the outside. Everybody here, y'all look good on the outside. Amen. But God. But all within, full of dead men, bone, and uncleanliness. But you look good, man. On the outside. Amen. The next verse reads, even so ye also outwardly appear to be right before men, but not in holiness, because holiness is not just what's on the outside, but he said, but on the inside you're full of what?
Hypocrisy,
hypocrisy and
In other words, you go by, you don't, it's lawlessness. Iniquity is lawlessness. In other words, you do not honor God's law, so you do what you want to do. This is a representation that is separate from holiness. Because on the outside, you dress the part, you look the part. But where is the problem at on the outwardly? You appear to be saved and all right. But God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. But God, on the what? Verse 4. On the what? Inside. So tonight we're dealing with what? Inward holiness. This has been a hard week. I had a hard week too. Especially Deacon Joe left me yesterday deserted. Oh, Deacon Joe. Hey man, Joe knows. That's a private joke. Y'all don't know it. Who knows it? Oh, you might know it. Hey man, but this has been a tough week. But how many know we made it this far? By faith and by God's grace. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Now, once again, we're dealing with what? Inward holiness. Inward holiness, the only one can really, you know, and God knows. Because we can put on the front on the outside, just like the hypocrites, and appear to be righteous. But God ponders and he weighs the heart. It says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as we're speaking what? We're not trying to please men. Why? Because God trieth our hearts. It doesn't do any good to put forth all of the fallacies of life to look good for men, because ultimately God trieth your heart. So there is no righteousness outside of God. There is no holiness outside of God. The only way that we can be holy is it has to start within our hearts. It has to start in our heart. So outwardly, we try to do things to please people or men. And you know, sometimes pleasing men can be pleasing yourself. But what does God think? You know, we're saved. Do we ever take a few minutes to say, what does the Lord think? How is God evaluating me? The only one that has the heaven and hell to put us in is? Kind of important every once in a while. I say, Lord, what do you think about me? Do you ever ask God that? Yeah. I ask him every day because I know I mess up. I know I don't do the right. Every day I ask God, God, help me to be better. You know why? Because I know I have issues. You might know the issues, not know the. I'm not talking about sin and all this. Don't go on a tangent on me. All right, don't go running on me, all right? Don't make me some kind of wacko. I'm talking about issues. You know, and sometimes you're short-tempered. See, I'm not even talking about sin. I'm talking about faults. So don't go somewhere and say, we can't go back there because he's full of sin. I'm not talking about sin now, all right? I'm talking about faults. I'm talking about maybe I should have read my Bible more yesterday. Maybe I was short and somebody was in need and they were in a position and God said stop and help them, but I didn't stop because I didn't have time. I'm talking about that kind of stuff. All right? So don't put me with a lot of those other guys, right? All right? I'm talking about those kind of issues. So every day I ask God, I need to do better. Amen. Sometimes you know how when you're dealing with kids and sometimes you get snappy. Because they don't react like you want them to react. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about that kind of stuff. Amen? Amen? We need to get it right. But God weigheth our spirits. So it says, not as we are pleasing men, but God which tries our hearts. And God is examining our hearts right now. And when God examines the heart, he examines the motives. Go to, I recorded this. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 for a minute. God is examining what's in you. What makes you do what you do? Is it consideration, God and his word? Or is it all about pleasing a man or yourself? Amen. Well, somebody said, well, why do I need to go to church? Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because the word of God is quick and
powerful.
That's why it's important to come to church. And it is sharper than
any
two-edged sword. Now, this is what, now, nobody else can do this but God's word. Look what God's word can do. It says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of man is made up of soul, body, and spirit. Amen. At death, the spirit goes back to God, but the soul goes to the waiting place, whether it be paradise, hell, or heaven at this time, it goes to a place. But the only one that can separate the soul and spirit is God. That's why we have to have an all-filled reverence for God. And the joint and the marrow, which is the life. And the word of God, now it goes even further than that, than just separating. Now it is a discerner of the, God is discerning the motives. He's discerning, why do you do what you do? And he sent the answer through the word. Discern of the thoughts and the what?
Intents
of the heart. You intended something that was not godly. And God loves us enough that he wants to stop us in our track. So he sent the word to correct us. But God is God. He said, I won't make you do it. It's all a matter of choice. Hebrews chapter 12. It's all a matter of what? Choice. But we're dealing with what? Inward holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to read verses 10 and 14 of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, for they verily, talking about how our natural fathers disciplined us. Now, when my father disciplined me, I never said a word back, because I knew better. A little different today. I can say it's fair to be disciplined. I'm talking about me. Now, I'm not talking about what your situation is. Everybody's situation is different. Parents, you discipline the kids, and they said, we couldn't roll eyes. A roll of an eye, you didn't say a word. That language spoke enough that you got it. Amen. So we knew better. And when we got too big, we still didn't roll our eyes. My father's dead now, so I never got a chance to ask him if he would really do this. He said, but if you get too big, you give me too much trouble, I'll shoot you. I didn't want to take that chance. But today, it's a little different. Too many video games and too much wild stuff on TV. I'm going to just go here for 1 minute. We were at a seminar the other day, and the guy said over in India for hundreds of years, they never had a problem with kids being disrespectful to parents. He said, they honored that, honor your mother and father. He said, the internet TV was in India for 5 years. He said, the kids are out of control. Parents, watch what your kids are watching on the internet and TV. He said, hundreds of years, they never had the problem. You know, India used to be pretty tough. So in 5 years of TV and the internet, I said, kids are out of control over in India. That's an inner walk of life. Watch what your kids watch. Control what they want. Why do your kids act like that? I remember the parents one time asking, why does my kid act like that? Now I watch what they watch on TV. I was like, wow, he's just role playing. He's just role playing. So what they see, now they're acting out. Amen? So you have a responsibility. But now let's get back to the word of God. For they verily, come on up, parents, for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure. But I'm so glad that God chases me to get me right. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his. God does not correct us to hurt us. He corrects us to get us to try to be more like him. So God's correction, God's chastening, it's not joyous, it's grievous. But accurately, it will yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness and holiness. Now go down to verse 14. We're talking about what? Inward holiness. I promise I'm not going to keep you all past the time. I got 5 minutes. Amen. After 5 minutes, everybody can stand up.
Man,
I stand up for 5 minutes, then I can say sit down. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I gotta do that every once in a while to make y'all loosen up here. Amen. It says, follow peace with the people that you like.
Amen.
The people that's in your circle.
Amen.
Your buddies and your friends.
Amen.
Follow peace with what?
Amen.
That's a challenge. That's a challenge. That's a challenge. Because there are some men that just can rub you the wrong way. But you're still supposed to follow peace. And another scripture says, seek peace and then do what? Pursue it. Say, well, you don't know how to act. That's not when you got to pursue it. You sought the peace, it didn't work, right? Now you got to do what?
Pursue it.
So follow peace with all men and
holiness.
Peace and holiness go together. We didn't get there yet, though. Don't let them see yet. We're going to see. Follow peace and holiness with all men. Do we follow peace and holiness with the people in church? Do we follow peace and holiness with the people in our homes? Do we follow peace and holiness with our family members? Ouch. Say ouch.
Ouch.
You say something. Amen. Do we follow peace? Amen. Seek peace and pursue it. And follow holiness without which?
No man.
No man shall see the Lord. I won't finish this this week, but Lord willing, we'll finish this the following week because they got people doing some role playing next week. Even got me dressing up like somebody.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Well, let's close. Let me see. I want to see. Let's close in Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. We'll close here. Amen. Maybe one more scripture after this, because I still got 3 minutes, so I go fast in Isaiah 35. But what we're trying to do is, it does no good to just keep acting the part. It's time to be real.
Amen.
Amen. It's time to try to see ourselves as God sees us. More important than anything else, I know when we're growing up as children, people would get the accolades and acclaim for something they know they didn't do, but they would take it. That's not honesty. When you get recognition and you know that you're not the one responsible for it, that's not honest. So it is in God. Don't let someone build you up to be something that you're not. Because you know and God knows the truth. Amen. Isaiah 35, and let's go to verse 3 of Isaiah 35. We want to be saved and we want to be holy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, it's time for you to strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm feeble knees. Say to them that of a we're trying to do what? Be holy. Amen. So you got to strengthen those weak hands and those feeble knees and the fearful heart. Be strong and
fear not.
Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and wherever you're at, don't worry about a thing. Because our God will come. Not might come, not may come, but God will come. The next verse. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. God's blessing. Amen. And the parched ground shall become a pool. Amen. You know, look in the desert, there's a pool. Thank you. And the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with the reeds and rushes. And Lord, thank God for the highway. A highway shall be there and how many ways? A way. And it shall be called Way of Holiness. God will come, but God is preparing us for the way called Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. What are we talking about? Holiness. You cannot be unclean and be holy. Holy represents purity, sanctification, the highest quality of life that we can give God. And it shall be for those that are standing, those that are walking the way. That's what holiness is for. Wayfaring means be walking in the way. The wayfaring man. The unclean cannot pass. Well, I got 2 minutes. Can I have 2 minutes? Actually, I got 5. I'm trying to cut myself short so I can stop early. But 2 minutes. I'm supposed to stop at 8:30. Look at your watch. I'm telling you, don't force your watch. It's 5 minutes. It's 8:25. I got 2 minutes. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to close here. I'll close the Bible. Even if it comes to my mind, I won't even quote the scripture. But tonight, we want to be holy. Amen. And holiness is not what we think or what we determine or how we act. Who's the final judge? God. And if we read in Thessalonians, God's going to judge us according as our works are. Amen. He said God tried the heart. Not what we're doing for man, because God looks beyond that. And he tried the heart. Verse 1. Now, this might be some of us. Some people can pray in tongues sound like angels. You ever hear them? Angelic. Pray in tongues like an angel? Walk out of church like a... No, I'm kidding. Go on. Alright, Thus speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not the right love in my heart, the right motives. I become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. You know what that means? Any of y'all ever heard your children when they first start playing an instrument? Or when you started, I mean, when I started, they used to say, what in the world kind of noise is that? It said, if you don't have the right motive, when people hear you, they can't tell what you are. Amen? Even though you're talking, it says, sound like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Why? Wrong motives. Verse 2. And though I have... Now we're getting, this is spiritual stuff here. So you can be as spiritual as you want to. The gift of prophecy and understand all and have all faith. That's a spiritual individual. Amen? So that I can remove and have not
I am
nothing.
You ain't nothing. Wrong motives. Yes, you did. Yes, you did all that spiritual stuff. But it's not with the right motive. It's not from the heart. It's not out of holiness. So all that preaching, all that you've done, all that you've amassed, all of that great acclaim, you still ain't going to make it. It won't profit you nothing because you don't have the right motive. Verse 3, we close here. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body, you've done all that humanitarian stuff. And I have not it, as we all sing. Charity is holiness from the heart of the right motives. Charity is holiness in the heart of the right motives. Charity is inward holiness. And you can give your body to be burned. You sow all your goods to feed the poor. Have understand all the mysteries of God. Have make faith and remove all mountains as the elders and ministers come forward. But if you have not the right motives, it profits you nothing. I'm not living to be saved, to dishonor and to displease God. I want to be saved so that I can please God. Hallelujah. The one testimony that Jesus had, he said, I do always. I do always the things that please my Father. The question tonight, if we want to be holy, but do we do the things that are pleasing to God? Can we just check ourselves out? Can we judge ourselves? Can we examine ourselves? If we can see some imperfections, what does God see? So tonight, we're dealing with inward holiness element.